Welcome to episode 4 of Ordinary Christians with my brothers in Christ, who I love dearly, Derek and Ron.
Hey, Derek here.
I was drinking coffee. Hello.
We're excited to share the topic today of how Holy Week and the virus that has taken the world, how can they be married together? How can we find the gospel hope in that? Welcome to episode number 4 of the podcast called Ordinary Christians. And the topic today that we're going to is we're going to try to have a dialogue, the three of us, with the topic being Holy Week and the coronavirus, COVID-19, and how do you see grace? How do you see the gospel? How do you see the process of this week? So I'm gonna go right to Ron, buddy. Give us what you're processing about Holy Week and this virus.
Yeah, I think as I've been thinking about this week, like everything is thrown off because we're not gathering. We're not having the normal rhythms that the church has, you know, for millennia. And I remember this phrase in the Chronicles of Narnia in the first book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where I think it's Mr. Beaver tells the little girl, Lucy, that in the land of Narnia, it's because of the witch, it's always winter, but never Christmas. And it was to kind of provide this reality that in Narnia, that there were shadows and evil that were seeming to overcome the land because Aslan, the great lion, was absent. And so as I think about this week, I think about Good Friday, not as a day, but as a season that, you know, this weekend is supposed to be the weekend in which we have the most deaths in the United States. That's Good Friday. When we can't gather on Easter, that is Good Friday. And I think in the same way that Good Friday is a season, so is Easter. And I just think the calendar doesn't, it matters in some ways, but in other ways, God has set his own calendar for Holy Week and for Good Friday and for what he's doing. And I think there's a gift in it. I think there's a grace in it that we continually have to turn towards the cross and see what Christ has done for us and what gifts there are there in his suffering and death.
Yesterday, yeah, it's so good, Ron, that Good Friday is a season. And yesterday, I was talking to a church leader, came home, his wife was in the fetal position in front of the TV, and he's, "What's wrong?" She said, "I am so afraid." And she goes, "I shouldn't be, I'm a Christian." It's because it's Friday. It is a season. She was watching the news too much and she got overwhelmed. And I think we should hang out there a minute to realize that Good Friday, up until Easter, that waiting that took place, we're in it for a lot longer than just 3 days. Derek, I know that you've thought through this too, because we've talked about this before this episode. Rapid fire some of the things that are going on in your brain with Good Friday and Easter.
I agree with you, brothers, and I'm really thankful for the way that you have just put that. I think that one of the things that is so beautiful about Christianity is that it is positioned to be able to make sense of times like this. The reality is that we don't have a cotton candy faith. We don't have a cotton candy gospel. We don't have a religion of birthday cakes and milkshakes. We have something that's real solid. We have death and resurrection. And this is so important to realize for all of those who are afraid. I mean, and I think that on Good Friday and Easter, this is a time to realize, my goodness, this is not just a religion of practical tips for everyday living, but this is a faith in the dying and rising God-man, Christ Jesus. And so when we're confronted by death, Good Friday is so essential and important for us to realize that Jesus died, that he died in our place, that he died for us, that he died to destroy death itself. And I think that this is one of the things that that I need to be reminded to, because I'm scared during the course of this. I'm frightened about a whole host of different things, is that I need to be driven to the cross. And I'm thankful that on Good Friday, we are intentional about that, about remembering that Jesus suffered and bled and died to take away our sin, to take away the sin of the world. And this is hugely important. I think there's a lot for us to consider and think about as it relates to all of that, because I think that the world is frightened right now. And I think that one of the things that I just want to say to ordinary Christians is, while we may be afraid, look to Jesus and know that he has defeated death for you, that he has risen again from the dead for you, and that he holds you right now. And to the world, to anybody that's listening to this that doesn't know Jesus, I just want to say that you can trust in him and you can know the hope that comes from having your sins forgiven and being assured of eternal life. And I think that this week, this Holy Week, is a unique one. I don't know if you guys saw this, but recently Ed Stetzer posted an article in Christianity Today where he was talking about some Lifeway research that was done. Lifeway did a study and discovered that the top four circumstances that where people are the most open to spiritual conversations are: one, after a natural disaster; two, after or during a major national crisis; three, during Easter season; and four, during Christmas season. And I think that we could reasonably say that we're living in the midst of three of the four of those right now, which means that this may be a time for spiritual receptivity that is unparalleled in our lifetimes and that we may not ever experience again. And Stetzer also points to some of the research that was done by one of his friends, which asked a bunch of people that don't have a faith commitment, which of any of the following life experiences would make you open to turning to the church for help? Here were the top three answers. One, if they're facing death; two, after they've lost someone that they loved; or three, when facing a health crisis. Those were the top three answers. And again, all of those are coming together at the same time, which means that this time, Holy Week, Good Friday and Easter, this Easter season during global pandemic and sheltering in place, is perhaps the most spiritually receptive time that any of us have experienced. And I think that means that there's a great opportunity for Christians, in the light of the cross and the resurrection of the grave, to tell people about the hope that is ours in Christ Jesus.
Didn't Dr. Sitlow say something about the Great Awakening last time?
Ron Sitlow, you are so wise.
You know, Ed Stetzer's great, but Dr. Sitlow has done some research.
Yeah, Dr. Sitlow, you are amazing.
Thank you.
You know, the stories always work for me. One of my members came by the church, drop off all things, her offerings, which is so kind. And, you know, and that's part of the story too. And she said to me, "Oh, Pastor Bob, I got to tell you a cool story." She goes, "I wanted to get my mail." Went to the street, lady across the street who I know, she was getting her mail at the same time. She goes, "Hey, you're religious." "Yep." She goes, "What should I do? I'm really afraid. I'm really scared. I'm not very religious." And of course, the conversation was just beautiful. She said, "Well, I go to the Bible. I'm going to go in the house. I'm going to give you some Bible verses and I'm going to come. And do you have a Bible?" "Well, it's an old one." She goes, "I tell you what, I'm going to have another Bible with me." Gave her a Bible. Hey, you know, did the old tabs of what scriptures, you know, the Psalm 23, the 40, Psalm 46, Psalm 91, and all these beautiful passages. And then she said, "Hey, do you mind if every day we could talk a little bit about this?" Again, what is it? It's a ripeness in the waiting. I mean, the gospel is, even though we're all frustrated that we can't be together, I'll wrap my thought on this up. While the church, you know, you guys, we have multi-site churches. Actually now it's multi-house churches across this Good Friday and Easter. I mean, every home is being the church scattered right now in their neighborhoods, and we got to capitalize on this waiting. In this Holy Week, what else are you guys thinking about?
Well, I think that given the potential spiritual openness, and given that worship services are not in person for any of our churches or for most churches in the United States, and I'm would assume the world also, that means that you, as an ordinary Christian, have the opportunity to invite not just a friend or a family of friends to church with you. You have the opportunity to invite hundreds of friends to church with you if you just maybe share the live stream of Faith Church or of Calvary Church or of Orland Park Christian Reformed Church. Just share the live stream and invite people to come to church along with you at a distance, in a distant sort of way. And you have an incredible opportunity to invite hundreds of people, more than just one or a family.
I have one little thought that, and then I'll go to you, Ron, that I've been using language. The word right now that's kind of a buzzword right now is quarantine. It's, you know, you're being isolated. And I'm going to say, you know, the cross of Christ is actually the thing that set us free from the quarantine of our sin. We're all quarantined. And the cross, I'm just trying to use a language of our culture right now. Everybody's talking about quarantine. Everybody's talking about the virus. And we can use language to say, you know, the Bible talks about our sin. It has destroyed us. Ron, what are you going to say? I interrupt.
Yeah, you know, in when you go to, if you're in prison and you act out, what they do is that they put you into solitary confinement, because psychologists know that there's nothing quicker or more useful to break a human person than being alone. And there's also a grace in it. You know, the ancient fathers would practice silence and solitude, right? The desert fathers. And they would embrace this discipline as a way of kind of crumbling, you know, those things that were not good. And I just think there's such a grace right now for everyone, non-Christians and Christians, that we have been put into forced solitude. And God is meeting us there. And we can't pretend, because we're facing our mortality, we're facing our fragility. And that is a great grace. And most people, until they are near death, will never experience this again. And that's right, it's a harvest time, because people now understand what life is about, how we're grass. One day we're beautiful and then we wither and no one remembers except God. And he's here among us to welcome us and to be with us in our aloneness. It's a great grace.
It is. It is. And what you guys are saying is making me think of Colossians chapter 1, specifically Colossians 1:21, where we're told that we were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, that Jesus is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death to present us holy and blameless and above reproach before the Father. And that alienation that is described in Colossians chapter 1:21 is something that we likely know now. We have a sense of what alienation means or entails now better than any other time. And I think that a quarantine is a right way to kind of describe what sin does to us. It quarantines us from God. It means that we're not able to engage with him. We're totally separated. We're cut off from him. And that Jesus is able to end the quarantine of sin through his body of flesh, through becoming physically present and dying for us. And
yeah,
and taking us out of the isolation of sin and bringing us into the fellowship of life with God and his people. I think that's a great way to talk about it.
I do too. You just triggered in my mind really an eschatological thought on this. That's not an ordinary Christian word. The end, the end, when Christ comes again, the heaven, that we are, there'll be a day, you know how like it, right now we're all longing to get together? Mm-hmm. Like people in church, oh, I miss church. We're offering worship service, but we miss one another. And I think there's a sense in which there's the waiting of Christ's return, where we're longing for a perfect fellowship again,
yeah,
to be with Christ forever and ever. And I think this idea that we're hanging with right now and this waiting is how we're using the waiting for the glory of God. And I think the flip side that we could maybe talk a little bit about is, for ordinary Christians, are we wasting any of the waiting? And where what are we listening to in the waiting?
Well, that is a great point, Ron. And I think that I know my own heart. I know.
Well, you're welcome. That wasn't me, but
that was Bob. Welcome. But yeah,
it was the most brilliant thing I've said today.
Sorry to wake you, Derek.
I'm just so used to Ron being the one with the great points that I think
I am crushed now.
Well, Ron, I'm sure, was thinking something equally astounding at the time that Bob was saying that wonderful thing. This is what quarantine has done to the brain and being isolated has done to the brain.
No, I'm just having a hard time, giving you a hard time.
Well, I forget what I was going to talk about now, but no, you had a great point.
About heaven.
About wasting yes, the moment.
About wasting the moment. I think that one of the things I'm tempted to do is to spend too much time watching television instead of using this. And I'm not somebody that's saying that television is always bad. I think it's good to sometimes be able to watch television. But if that's all that you're doing and you're not intentionally spending time with the Lord, spending time in prayer, spending time in the reading of Scripture, then we will have wasted this opportunity if there's no increased time for those sorts of things. And because I think this is a time to learn a lot of things. And I was reading an article from Thomas Joseph White, and I've adapted 8 things that we can learn. So get ready, because I've got 8 things for all of you. And I'm sure Ron probably has.
I'm ready, Bob.
All right, got my notes out. Let's go. Rapid fire, bro. Bring them.
Here are 8 things that we should learn from the crisis. We should use time to learn these sorts of things. 1, there's life after death. 2, God loves those who die. 3, there's a possibility for the forgiveness of sins. If you trust in Jesus, your sins will be forgiven. 4, our littleness in the face of death is an opportunity for surrender. 5, on Good Friday, Christ too died alone from asphyxiation. 6, Christ was raised from the dead on Easter. 7, God can comfort the fearful. 8, there's a promise of eternal life. And all of this is so important for us to learn in the midst of all of this, that in all of our suffering and all of our loneliness and all of our fear, Christ has been in each one of those places, and Christ is the antidote to each one of those things, and that he saves from sin and death.
It's really good.
That made me think about, you know, one of the gifts of this moment is, you know, maybe I'm just trying to rationalize my own behavior, but, you know, in normal times, we try to create space for alone time or scripture or prayer. But in times of crisis, they are forced upon you, right? If your spouse dies or something horrible happens to you, you're in that space whether you want to be or not. You don't go, oh my goodness, I think I will, you know, cry out to the Lord. You cry out because things are horrible. And so that's the grace, right? Everyone is practicing spiritual disciplines, and it's either towards the Lord or whatever God you worship. And that is mercy. And so to anyone who's listening, just cry out and cry out from what's really going on in your real life, and you will find him. He says, those who seek him will find him. And it is a great gift right now, because life isn't like this usually.
Yeah, this is it. There's a rawness and a realness that we're all experiencing. I think it's going to be interesting, because to look back, you know, after the resurrection of Christ, the church was unleashed, and out of something bad and horrific, the resurrection was the good news that Christ came to life, has now declared victory over sin and death, and then the church was unleashed. I wonder, in some respects, if we're going to experience the same thing, where we've been in waiting, when we are unquarantined, I don't know if that's a word, but when we're set free, if there's going to be an hour of the church again where we're going to see it go like crazy.
May it be.
What do you think? Maybe. Ron, didn't you, the profound one that said this is the next great awakening?
You know, I did, based upon a lot of my research. It is my deep hope.
It is our prayer, man. Yeah. How about wrapping up? Let's just start thinking again about Good Friday, waiting, Easter, and for the ordinary Christian, what kind of closing comments can each one of us give, a challenge?
I can try to take a stab at that first, and that is, for every ordinary Christian, the central truths of the Christian faith are that Jesus has defeated sin and death and done it for you who trust in him. And so in the midst of all this fear and in the midst of death, know that Jesus is worth staking your life upon, and that he gives you hope in the midst of distress.
How about you, Ronald?
Yeah, I amen to that, Derek. I would just, I would say that in this time in which the crucified Lord is, He's before us, and it's more tangible maybe now than ever that we look upon him. We see this is God's power on display in his weakness. The full wisdom is of God does what it desires to do. And so that's the reason Christians have always been the people of defiant faith, that the outward moments or circumstances do not define our worship or our allegiance or our trust, because we know we worship the God who's defeated death. And we might be in the midst of death today, but there will be resurrection.
Amen. My challenge? Yeah. Amen. My challenge is to listen to Derek and Ron.
That's my challenge too.
It is a challenge to listen to me for sure.
Yeah. No, mine is would be to live what the gospels, what the scriptures say out as Christians. Everyone in the world is probably experiencing feelings of doubt, fear, anxiety, worry, etc. The Bible makes it very clear in Corinthians that Christians are different. We're down but not defeated. We have the story of the resurrection, and we should be the people who say, yes, these are my feelings, but this is the hope in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. You guys, thanks for helping all of us together. And we're discipling one another in this podcast and what ordinary Christians, how they face Holy Week to the resurrection. Thank you all. Thank you, Derek, Ronnie.
Bye, guys.
Thank you, Bob.